Let's go.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. And we just had a wonderful holiday that you especially like, Dad. St. Patrick's Day, one of your favorite holidays.
When I was playing, it was bad. And all the players, even if they weren't, it was an excuse. That's excuse to get drunk.
Well, I'm looking at a beautiful floral arrangement that was sent to you by a friend and all that has
McElhenry.
Yeah, and quite the array of flowers, green and orange and all. And you, I remember that's a big significance, orange and green, because of you used to work for Kodak's construction company, which was Ridge Construction in Rochester,
New York.
And you were the guy that handed out the...
Well, one year I was in charge of the tools. I don't know how I got that job. Whitey Smith gave it to me.
Your best friend.
Yeah, and Captain Whitey Smith. He was the boss. And I remember Freddie McGuire. He worked there too. And he used to bugging me. He wasn't. I didn't. And he painted his... I must have said something about the Queen or something. And naturally, he's from Ireland. He didn't like the Queen. Southern Ireland, and he painted his helmet green, and he painted a harp on it, and the whole deal. But he was from Ireland, and so to bug him, I painted my helmet orange, and now orange is the big deal over there.
Because a lot of people don't realize, like in Ireland, green symbolizes Catholics, right?
Yeah,
and orange symbolizes Protestants.
Yeah, that goes back to 1,000 bicks threw down their sticks, the Battle of the Boyne. That's the song.
Well, thank goodness you weren't going to sing the old orange flute, Dad.
No.
You can't sing that nowadays.
Yeah, I should tell that story sometime. Well, what happened was, I knew the old orange flute. I knew in the county.
No, it's very politically incorrect now.
No, I just started it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
In the county Tyrone, in the town of Dunconnon. Anyhow, Ron Harrison was the head of the, he was head guy. Well, he's the director, I guess. No, I guess he was the head guy now that I think.
What, Hockey Night in Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, Ron Harrison was executive producer.
Oh, yeah. I should.
With Molestar.
He was a great guy. And he is a great guy. He fell down a stairs. Did you know that? I remember a guy telling me he fell down a stairs and broke both his legs or something. Anyhow, he was a great guy, and he was the head of the Hockey Night in Canada, and he said, well, we had about 10 minutes, so we could all sing a song. So, just to fill in, it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. Now, I was on the ice, so I thought it was, he says, okay, sing a song, Donk. So the only song I really knew, I knew a lot of songs, I said, I'll sing the old orange flute. So I sang it with a Boston accent or Irish accent. And the county, and so nobody, nobody listens or anything like that. Oh boy, did I get a lot of mail that.
It's a very anti-Catholic song.
Well, it's they still march. I think they used to march through the Roman Catholic and over in Ireland. They used to the Orangemen used to walk. They used to have a bowler hat on, dressed in black suits, a black tie. And they used to, they'd march to the old orange flute.
Yeah, but get back to the story. So he painted his helmet green, and then you were English, so you painted your tools.
Well, we used to bug each other all the time and everything. I don't know. He was serious. I was just kidding. And a safety guy, this is a true story, a safety guy saw my helmet from a distance. You couldn't miss it. It was orange. And I think I should have had orange. And if you look at all the highways when they have construction or anything that you want at safety, it's always orange. He was the head of the,
Because it used to be yellow.
It used to be yellow.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have yellow like now. But when they have construction where they really want you to look, everything on the roads and everything, it's always orange.
So for your relatives, who's Irish? I know you have Irish and Catholic.
No, we came from... Cherries that my grandfathers came from Ireland and during the potato famine. But
so is you on your dad's side?
Dad's side, yeah. Well, the Cherry name is Irish. Come from County Cork. Anyhow, getting back to what we started from, the players used to, every player, And
well, I remember speaking about, we'll do that again, about we had in Rochester next door, we had nice neighbors called the McGivrens.
Oh, yeah. They, on Elm Drive.
And you guys were always kind of fooling around with that. And I remember he put an Irish flag up, and then you went and got a Union Jack.
Yeah.
And you got it a little bit higher. And then he, the next day, he got a pole and put it a little bit higher than the Union Jack. And you went and got a couple of hockey sticks and nailed them together. And went nice and high.
I forgot about that.
And then so I think they went up about 10 feet, and then finally his fell over. So that was it. So
and McGivens, you remember his wife's name?
I can't remember his wife's name, but she was a real... I used to babysit for their kids and all this, and I remember Mom telling me the story where his wife, and when they were having coffee with Mom.
Yeah, and Slapshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Slapshot picked that up, you know, with the big dog. And I'd come home, and I was covered in sweat because I had... Not the job giving out the tools, but I'd be covered in sweat, and you know, from sweating all day.
Well, you were working from construction.
Yeah, like Dell. Do you sweat, Dell, or yeah?
Dell breaks out in a sweat, Dell. Oh.
Anyhow, I used to be covered in sweat, and it used to be you could sit. The houses were close, and used to sit on the thing, and I'd take my boots off.
Because it was like a stoop. You walked in, and there were three steps going up, and then steps going down in the basement. So you were like at the side door. And walking in.
Right, and the side door was there was just a driveway and then their kitchen window.
And their kitchen window was right there. Overlooking. And Blue would come and, you know, I think she was licking, she'd never give me a kiss, but she was licking the sweat off me. And I used to say, oh, isn't she a sweet, big, beautiful little girl, you know.
I miss you.
I miss you all day working tonight.
Give me a kiss.
And would you give me a kiss? And I said, so Rose is, the wives of the neighborhood had a coffee, and they were talking, discussing husbands. One husband says, well, your husband is so affectionate when he comes home. And Rose said, are you kidding? He doesn't even shake my hand. And she says, well, I hear him. That is a lie. She says, because I hear him every night saying how much he loves his little girl. And it was Blue.
Yeah, Bob goes, she's talking to the dog.
Yeah.
She's talking to the dog. Well, anyhow, let's talk about Campbell was good again last night. You know, he knocked around Jack Campbell.
Yep.
Played for Windsor.
Yeah, it's got two shutouts in a row now, played for Windsor, and then went up to Sudbury, or the Sioux, and played for Dubas up there for a while.
Yeah, that's how he knows him. And
so he's won two. Freddie Anderson was kind of struggling,
He's in a funk. He's in a funk.
Yeah, but, you know, first two shots on him are tip-ins, and they're blaming him on
the Friday. You're right. There were tip-ins, and maybe one could out of, but...
But if you're Dubas, do you run with Campbell now?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Keefe, do you run with Campbell?
Yeah, I go with him now. I mean, yeah, you got to go with him to get two shutouts, but you have to get Anderson back in there because he's a number one guy when he's hot. But we never know. But Campbell, you can't beat it, and you know he knocked around. He knocked around too. He's like Mike Smith. It takes him a little while to get. All goaltenders are like that. And
so, are they still debating? Are you saying that they're still debating who's going to be the goalie in the playoffs? Or
well, we don't know. I mean, this.
So
guy,
they still don't know. You still think that's
well,
up for debate?
I mean, two shutouts in a row. I mean, I'm an Anderson guy, but when a guy gets two shutouts in a row, and he's a pretty cocky guy. I see him winking last night and everything. Anyhow, the Leafs won. They were just in a funk for a while, and they were a better team last night. Of course, they're at home, and. Vancouver, they lost to Canadiens, and Canadiens are without Toffoli, which was their number one scorer. But you can't blame Holtby on that. He held them in the game.
Yeah, Carey Price again, not a great.
Well, he didn't. He won. He had five guys go in him on that OT, whatever you call it, shootout now. And he if he ever gets in the groove, if he ever gets like he was, like above.
But all you got to do is make the playoffs with him.
Yeah, well, you make the playoffs. Boy, I tell you, I'd hate to play him in the playoffs if he ever gets it back in the groove again.
Well, we said that last year, and everybody was laughing. I mean, Pittsburgh, four straight, and we said, Price, this might be his time to shine, and sure enough.
Well, he could be like Patrick Roy. When he what do you, they won 10 OT games in a row or
But last year, was he up for his contract?
No, he's got a big, long contract.
He's had it for a while
But this is the time that he could win because, you know, they play amongst each other and then they go down. I think they play the...
The East, so they'll play the winner out of the Washington-Boston.
Yeah, they'll play...
If Boston makes the playoffs.
Yeah, well, Boston... Boy, you know, I have to tell something. If somebody's listening, you can talk to the Suns, and maybe their sons are listening too, I hope. How many people listen to this show, Tim?
We're zeroing in on 2.7 million downloads.
And what countries?
So we're number one in Canada. Of course, Canada's our number one country, U.S., and then the U.K., and then we follow by Japan, Australia, United Arab Emirates, Sweden, Germany, Mexico, Norway, Russia. I wonder if Putin's listening. Russia.
Putin's probably listening.
South Korea and Hong Kong are our tops.
Oh, isn't that great, eh? So what was I talking? Oh, yeah. Now, if you're listening and you've got a son playing hockey, or if you're playing hockey, well, I don't know. It always happens. I notice this here when I see a guy, okay, here's the deal. A guy looks up, he's got the puck, and he sees everybody's covered. So what he's going to do is he's going to make the red line. He doesn't want to pass it to anybody because they're all covered. So he tries, and it's funny thing is, it's always the left side, left defenseman. I don't know why, but it's always the left. Now, Gerard grabs the puck, and he looks up, and everybody's covered. I saw the game. So he tries to make the red line. Now, Tanev is on, I think that's how you pronounce it. He is a winger that plays, I forget his first name, but anyhow, Brandon Tanev. He is a tough guy. He's not too big, but he led Pittsburgh in hits. So you know he can hit. So he's the left winger. Or right winger, what it doesn't matter. When I saw the hit, I said, there is something wrong. So, and what happened was he knew that Gerard Tenorti had hurt Malkin before. Tenorti tried to make the red line, and you're on the left, you're on your left, and you try to dump it in because you don't want icing. As he dumps it in, Tanev hit him. Holy, and did he hit him. I mean, he hit him. It looked like he lifted him up and threw him into the boards. But the funny thing is, Tenorti should have known, if he hurts Malkin, some tough guy on that team is going to get you. And did he get him? Oh, boy. And I don't know. Tenorti's not back. I don't think he'll be back for a while. And you got to be careful when you try to make that red line. When I tried to make the red line, I always protected myself if a guy was coming, especially if I heard a guy the period before. And Tenorti's going to be a long time. And Tanev wasn't. He wasn't suspended. He got the 5-minute major. I mean, he had to carry him off. It was a tough one. And all I'm saying is, if you have a son that plays defense, and when he tries to go to that red line, don't just forget it. A guy coming, and it's hard to explain.
Yeah, we've seen it a few times watching minor midgets. The guys are trying to make the red line to dump it in so they don't ice it. And they seem, when they shoot it, they're kind of off balance.
They're on their left, and it's always on the left side. I don't know why.
And you're usually near the boards, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you're near the board because you're making for the boards. You know, you make take a beat, and you go near that boards, and boy, did he ever hit him. Anyhow, be careful if you got a son and he plays that defense and he looks up, everybody's covered. Be careful trying to make that red line.
Well, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca, a First Nations own online casino and sports book tailored for Canadians, which means they take Canadian money, which is good. Shows up, sign up now and enter the promo Grapes, and they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 15 spins on the big wheel to get some big money. And if your first time you do a sports bet, they'll give you $25. And we bet Toronto was going to win on Saturday after they lost against Calgary. We thought they'll be ready, and so we did. We did.
Well,
good at,
you know, jumping about Jack Campbell again. I mean, the guy is 4-0-0. You said, are we going to use him in the playoffs? I mean, goals against average, I think, is one, and 9.675 save percentage. So who are you going to lose? If he keeps going, and like I said, he get knocked around.
So you got to say, well, Edmonton's kind of on a tear. Connor McDavid, again, nine points in five games.
He is so far ahead of everybody else. I mean, you know, I noticed after he's not celebrating after. And, you know, I never liked the guy. Why the players like Bobby so much is because he never, after a goal, he put his head down. And I remember they asked Mickey Mantle, the baseball player, the beautiful boy, he could hit a ball. He was a beautiful guy. I went to see him play. And they asked him, why do you run around the bases with your head down? He says, I didn't want to embarrass the pitcher. I mean, that's why they loved Mickey Mantle.
Yeah. So, you know, Dad, like I was watching it and watching the game last on Saturday, and you know, Connor McDavid was going around. Now, when Bobby Hull used to play, there was a guy that would just follow him around the ice, right?
Pronovo was John, I think it was, and he'd sit on his back. But you can't do that with McDavid. I mean,
you just couldn't get a guy to say, look, just follow him. Just anywhere he goes.
You can't. You know, because he's all over the place. And, you know, I've been watching them very carefully. Well, we watched them in Bantam and that. I didn't think he would be that good. I knew he'd be good, but I didn't know he'd be that good. He takes short steps, little short steps, and he takes off about 90 miles an hour. And he seems to be in the right place at the right time. But you couldn't have a guy just stand. They did that with Bobby Orr, eh? They said, we're just going to stay. So he just stood still at the blue line. And the rest of the guys.
Well, I remember he was doing that, and I was watching him. And then he'd go stand by another guy. He'd go stand by, let's say it was like Pittsburgh was doing it, right? So they had a Pittsburgh winger standing next, like cover Bobby. So then he would go and stand by their winger. So now you got two guys on him. So now it's like a 4-on-3. So
Matt, you know, not to bore people again, but it just shaked my head. The defenseman getting 46 goals, and I read in the paper where a guy's getting 50 goals or 50 points, and he's going to win the Norris Trophy. And I think Bobby had 46 goals. I mean, 89 assists. Him and Coffey were. Plus 123 is unbelievable. Anyhow, McDavid, there's no way you could cover McDavid that way. Now, Ovechkin, I was the guy that said that he didn't seem interested, and you hit him, and you wake him up. You should just, he's one of those.
That's what happened in New York. He was fast asleep, and boys, I don't know who it was, but somebody really corked him.
Bing, bing, it went 2-0. Ovechkin gets two goals, and he's got a temper. I mean, yeah. But you hit him, you wake him up.
So just let him sleep. So I'm going to tell a funny story that happened this week that one of my favorites, and I think the guy that's going to come out of the draft over the next couple of years as the best guy is Jamie Drysdale.
Oh, yeah. You've been talking about this guy ever since. I think he played for Marlies, didn't he?
Marlies, he wore number four. So, defenseman wearing number four. But he was like Bobby Orr back.
Well, I was saying when you were mentioning that, I said, we had a Mississauga Ice Dogs. His last name was Orr, and he wore number four. And I go, now that's pressure.
Yeah. So he played his first game with Anaheim, the Anaheim Ducks, and he scored. He got a goal and an assist, and they won 3-2. And I think he got first star.
You've been mentioning this guy. You liked him when he played in the junior tournament.
Yeah, I think he was the best defenseman in the World Juniors. And but here's a funny story that happened. So he scores a goal, and the goal he scored was he kind of got the puck from the point, and he took a good, nice, hard wrist shot, and it went in. But the official goal scorer gave it to this other duck standing in front of the net. So he got an assist, but he didn't get the goal. So they dropped the puck. And about 2 minutes later, a guy named Trevor Zegras, who's a rookie, played for the U.S. Olympic or junior team this year, he scores his first NHL goal ever. So then the goalie official said, no, it wasn't tipped in. So Jamie Drysdale got the goal, so it was his official goal. So both those players scored their first NHL goal with the same puck.
So who gets the puck?
So who gets the puck?
What did they do?
I think they did a King Solomon and cut the puck in half. I don't know. That's what it says. I don't know if they were joking or not, but that's...
What do you do?
You I don't think that ever happened before.
You know, the funny thing is, Jamie, I hate to say it. He's out in Anaheim, and unless they win the cup, nobody ever hears about anybody that goes to Anaheim or any of those places out there. Well, I suppose they hear them out there, but they never hear about them in hockey.
But isn't that the whose job is it when there's a milestone and you get to keep the puck? Isn't it the trainer? Like when you were at the Bruins, if anyone got a milestone.
Yeah, one of the trainers.
The trainer's got to grab the puck and get it and make them have a new one.
He didn't score it.
When he scored, they said it was tipped in, so it wasn't so he didn't score it. So.
You know, and back in, not to get back in, but Bobby used to give up, he'd score, and he'd say, no, the guy tipped it in front. He could have had 50 goals.
Well, he's Jamie Drysdale. He was, as I say, I think he's going to be a star again. But he'll be out in Anaheim, so nobody will hear about him. But it's funny that there was like 3 years in a row that we went out watching guys, Dad, that were really good defensemen, and he was one. And now they're talking about the draft this year that a guy named Owen Power that we saw played for the Mississauga Reps. He could be first overall.
Big guy,
and he could be first overall. Or a guy named Brent Clark, who plays for the Barrie Colts. He saw him play. He played on Don Mills with Shane Wright.
You're hearing this for the first time. You'll hear it.
So he could go first overall. But, so it's fun to see those. I was just saying, sometimes it's not fun going to watch the games in February. It doesn't really mean much. And it's freezing cold.
They're tired, eh?
Yeah, and you get there, the game at 9:30. Game's supposed to start at 9:30, and there's a 45-minute delay for something. Now the game's 10:45.
And they've been sitting in the dressing room.
You're sitting, and then the kids
and it's cold.
It's freezing cold and all that. But it is fun, though, to look and see a guy like you.
Tell the story about Jamie. About his mother. Don't fool with the mothers at these games.
Yeah, this is kind of a funny but not funny, but we were at the Silver Stick tournament in Whitby, and the rinks are kind of small there because most of the scouts, we don't like staying or sitting around the parents.
Oh, I've been told. You guys like it up top with your black coach judging everyone.
Well, so we just, you don't want to, because if you don't want to slip and say something, right? So we always stay away from the parents. But in this tournament in Whitby, the rinks are kind of small. There's not a lot of seating, so we went to see the Marlies play, and he and Jamie Drysdale was on the team, and I was with another scout who's from up north, and he's a joker, kind of a funny guy, tries to be funny, and so we sit down, and there's a lady next to us, and we're watching, and she's clapping with the Marlies, and not being just very low key,
it's a funny thing. We hear about in the paper how bad the parents are. We've been going now how many 20-some years. I've never heard one parent ever yell at the referee or anything.
No, they're always pretty. It's pretty quiet. She was very low key, and so the scout that I'm with, he says, is your son on the ice? And she says, yeah. He goes, my son plays for the Marlies. He's number four. And
as a joke.
Yeah, and as a joke, the scout goes, oh, yeah, I know him, Jamie Drysdale. He's not very good. And you should see the look on her face. And he goes, oh, no, I'm just kidding. He says, look, he says, in 4 years, I'll be watching him in the National Hockey League. And sure enough, 4 years, he gets his first NHL goal.
Don't fool with the mothers.
Yeah, it didn't go over very.
It went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
Well, Sutter's doing pretty good. I think he's 5-2 now, isn't he? Or 4-2. What is he now? 5-4-2.
I think he's 5-2.
5-2, pretty good. And you have to feel for guys being fired. I remember the first time I was fired. Awful words.
Yeah, well, you got to look at Ralph Kruger from Buffalo. He was fired.
Yeah, he got fired too. He didn't have a chance. I mean, I don't know what the heck happened. Stahl is a good hockey player. Hall is a good hockey player. Eichel's a good hockey player. And they never did anything. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Anyhow, I remember the first time I got fired. Honestly, this is true, Cindy. I mean, I think I've told it before, but it is so funny. Or I think it's funny. Now I think it's funny. And I remember Doug Adams was the general manager, and I did not get along with the Vancouver Canucks at the time.
And you were coaching Rochester, right?
I was coaching Rochester. And we almost made it, eh, Tim? We were 7 points, 17 points behind.
Last game.
Came down to the last game.
Last period.
And your buddy was coaching, remember?
Dwight Smith.
And it didn't, that game didn't mean anything to him.
Didn't mean, he was playing Cincinnati Swords, I think. Yeah, yeah. It was a farm team.
And he was married to another Hershey lady, right?
Audrey Duck Gundecker.
That's right. So this game means everything to you and nothing to him, and he beat you.
Yeah, but he didn't mean to.
No, he didn't.
He put in his backup goalie. And when you put in a backup goalie, the backup goalie always says, oh, yeah? Put me
oh,
in.
Is that? Yeah. Oh, I see.
And
it works
you couldn't
you.
Put a P by him. And I'm going back. And I remember Doug Adams coming in my hotel room. I was having my nap as usual. And he says, you're playing. I'm not naming it. Serge Aubry, I think it was. And he hadn't played in a month, which wasn't. I said, no, I'm not. I knew I was fired right away. I was going to get fired anyhow. Not awful.
So Vancouver, you were the farm team for Vancouver.
I was the farm team for Vancouver, and Vancouver gave the order to Doug Adams, who was the general manager of Rochester, to tell Cherry to play Serge Aubry tonight. And we were in Springfield, and we had two or three games to go, and we had one game to go, actually. This keeps going back and forth. And I didn't. And I said, I'm not playing him. And I knew I was fired right away when I said,
Who is the other goalie?
Serge Aubry. And the other goalie was Lynn Zimmerman.
Oh, it was Lynn Zimmerman.
Lynn Zimmerman.
Who has your car still.
And he was a great, he was a good goalie. So I said, okay, then. And he says, you're going to play the rookie tonight. And well, I figured we were a man short. Why not? What do I got to lose? Yeah, okay. I never forget. I think his name, Doug Westner, I think his name was. Anyhow. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was sitting in the dressing room. I didn't like to watch warm-up. I was sitting in the dressing room, and the trainer came in. I can see the dressing room now. He says, Jimmy's got a broken hand. I said, Jimmy's got a broken hand. He says, yeah, Zimmerman's got broken hand. And I said, I know who did it. Don't tell me. I know who did it. The rookie did it, didn't he? And he looked at me, and he said, yeah. And what happened was Zimmy was tired, a little tired. And in the warm-up, he wasn't paying attention or he wouldn't have broke his hand. And the next game, how did we get into this? The next game, we're playing Cincinnati. And he plays, and Floyd Smith's a pretty good guy. He played the backup goalie. Backup goalie was fantastic. So anyhow, we didn't make the playoffs. We missed it by, what? We missed it by
1 point. We had to have the win. We were up 1-0. They scored.
Didn't even count. You had to win.
You had to win, and then we scored with. They scored
one shot.
One shot in the third period to tie it up 1-1.
We outshot them 17-1.
And that was it. So we missed it by one.
But didn't matter. Didn't matter how good I was or good coach or anything. I knew I was fired. So I go in, and Phyllis was the secretary.
Yes.
And Mike was the PR guy. So I walk in. They knew
he'd already told them
I'd been fired.
Yeah, they were
so
happy.
I walked in. I never forgot this. And he's smoking a little wee cigar, one of those little wee cigarillos or something. And he says, we're making a change in your department. I think, who's the poor guy in our department? And it was me. And a lot of guys, you know.
It's unbelievable.
You know, it's funny. It's funny, but it's not funny. Because what happens is you don't think of the guy's family. And I remember I had coming home. And
so have you ever had to fire someone?
No, I never thought.
But you're sending guys down, those almost.
I send guys down. I remember Dougie Gibson. He was the MVP.
Very good looking, I remember.
Yeah.
Dougie Gibson.
Blonde-haired guy, and he was really good. And I never ever told a guy he was going down, or I always told a guy that was going down, or he wasn't playing, It's tough. So Andy Savard, I let him go home. And Harry Sinden, who was the general manager of Boston, you let him go home up. I think he come from way up north somewhere. And he says, you let him go home? Oh, I said, you know, he wants to visit his mom and dad. It's Christmas and everything. He says, you let him go home? You're up there. He could get caught in a storm. And sure enough, we're playing in Buffalo. He can't make it he can't fly out of where he is. So we pick up Dougie Gibson. And I remember Dougie got two goals or something like that. And And I don't know. And I had to tell him, and we played a couple of games, and I had to tell him he was going back down. Boy, that was tough. Anyhow, I got fired. And as I'm walking out, the secretary, she snickered, and he snickered. And I get outside the door, and I, you know, fuckers, they knew I'd get fired. Do you think he'd? Why laugh at me?
Well, they didn't like you. There was no question. Because they liked the GM. They liked Doug Adams.
Yeah, they liked Doug Adams. And I come back. I remember what I said to him. I said, you know, you people shouldn't laugh at me. I'm like a bad penny. I come back. And sure enough.
Because I remember when then the next year it followed is that you did come back and you were made coach. And I remember you carried them for like 2 or 3 weeks because they knew that
month.
They were
about a month and a half.
And even mom said, when are you going to fire them? Because not because she wanted them fired, but she knew you were torturing them.
I never spoke to them.
Well, but they knew it was coming. So you let them go and think they were going to keep them. And the whole
thing. In fact, now that I think about it, they went to the owners, Phyllis, the secretary.
You had a nickname. I won't even say what it
is.
But it rhymes with
no,
Phyllis.
No, I won't say what she was. She went to the owners, and the owners that saw me after a game, and they said, here, you're mean to the secretary. You know, I said, how can I be mean to her? I never even talked to her. Yeah, well,
that's being mean. Quit.
That's being mean because you were carrying them until you
and
didn't
and
fire
the,
them.
And we got the guy's line, and I went, how did I get it? Oh, guy's being fired.
Yeah.
I think the funniest one, well, I shouldn't say that. They're never funny when they get fired.
No, I think, though, you talk about that. The worst one that you've told me was when you were in construction, and they brought everybody into the room.
Oh, Whitey, I remember I was in the room. I knew I shouldn't have been. Whitey kept me around. Like, I was a new guy. I had only been there a year, and guys had been there longer. And it was a bad time. It was about 73.
It was a big recession.
Yeah, gas prices.
So anyhow, I'm gone, and he called all the guys in the room, and like they had to do this. This is what they did. We really appreciate so and so. And I remember a carpenter. He was really a good carpenter. He was gone. And Whitey had told me that because he was a friend of mine, the only reason I stayed there was because of Whitey. And he told me I was going to stay. I never forgot this. Here's a guy that had been through the war, Mount Casino, you know, seen guys blowing up and everything. And he told his guys, and then he come to me, like it was about 50 guys in the room, and he says, Don Cherry's got to go, and he started to cry.
But that must have been tough, like everybody waiting to know if their names were being
called.
Well,
we knew before, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
The other, because he didn't have the nerve to tell me.
And then the other one, too, I think, is... you weren't really fired, but it was a mutual agreement is when you were trying to sell cars and a guy said something to you.
Oh, yeah. I was selling a car.
I
was the world's worst salesman.
But they were Cadillacs and they were pretty.
Yeah, but they were the world's worst salesman. I grabbed the guy by the guy said, oh, you car salesmen are like. And I grabbed him, nailed him against the wall. And you know, I knew I was gone. I was the world's, I should have been gone. I was the world's worst car salesman in the world. Anyhow, but I think the worst I've ever heard of guys being fired is, the worst I've ever heard is Billy Ray. He won a Stanley Cup, I think, he did win the Stanley Cup with the Chicago Blackhawks. And he was on the road and he's taking his coat off and a note is slipped underneath the door. You're fired. I didn't even tell him. His note was slipping off the door. But I think the funniest one, if you want to know the funniest one, is Harry Neal tells the story, told me the story, that he was in a hotel room after a game after a loss, and Roger Nielsen and him are having a pint.
And so Harry was a GM?
Harry's a GM, and Roger Nielsen is a coach. So he gets a call. Well, as he's sitting there, he gets a call, and Roger's sitting over there. And he says, I want you to fire Roger. And so
who's that, the owner?
That's the owner. It's phoning. He said, I want you to fire Roger. And Harry says, I can't do that. I can't fire him. And Roger's sitting right there. And he says, you know, Harry, it'd be too bad if two guys, if I let two guys go. And Roger was fired.
Oh, gee.
I think that's kind of funny.
Oh.
Another funny one Harry tells. Harry is a funny guy. I guess it's not funny, but he's in the Windsor, and he's coaching Detroit, and he goes underneath the tunnel, and he says, we have big news about Harry Neal. He went under the tunnel, and he couldn't hear the radio.
No.
Yeah, so he gets out in the radio. So now he goes into the guy, and he was fired. Big news. He didn't know. He went underneath the tunnel, and... he's a funny guy. Harry had all funny stories like that. We'd have a pint or two, and he'd tell them. I think, you know, one of the worst things, having guys being fired and everything was Mike Anscombe. You remember Mike Anscombe? He used to be on television.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's been a lot of people fired.
Oh, a lot of guys fired. Well, look at all the guys that fired.
TSN and Sportsnet, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't. Anyhow, well, I didn't do bad myself getting fired, but... I remember Mike Anscombe telling me one time that he did the news, and my mother used to just love him. Mike Anscombe, he was blonde.
Because he came on at 5:30, right after The Young and the Restless, that the family used to
watch.
Oh,
is that why?
Yeah, because they wouldn't even go to a break to a commercial. It would just end the Y&R, and then it would go to him. And I remember, you remember what your mom said all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Mike
Anscombe? I said, well, I know him pretty good. He says, well, tell him to smile. He's got a beautiful smile.
That's right.
And anyhow, he was telling me about the time he did the news. He had no idea at all. And they said, we'd like to see you up, upstairs and that. And he said, I went upstairs. He said, you're fired. Like, just like that.
He was the guy that invited you for lunch and then had an apple. That was a funny story. I love people invite you to lunch and then don't eat.
Yeah, and he said, you have to come out and... I had a big kidney pie. I didn't really eat.
Yeah, so you okay? Kidney pie.
Okay.
You
kidney
go full
pie,
tilt.
So I'll have an apple. What do you invite me all the way out here? You have an apple,
and then you look like you're.
Anyhow,
well, Dad, I think that's good. We're running a little bit late today. We got a lot of stuff to talk about next week, and we'll talk. You know, maybe the one thing we'll talk about is Scheifele from Winnipeg really got criticized because. By the press, because he says he didn't think analytics meant anything.
Oh.
And so we can talk about your version on analytics and stats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I said the only stat I'd like, and we could talk about next week, that they don't have that I think they need to have, is how many times a player gets hit. Not how many times he hits, but how many times he gets hit.
I had a guy, what was his name?
Clayton Bahal.
He was a good-looking guy. He was, he could skate. He could do everything. And he used to lead our team in hits all the time. And I used to say to him, he could never understand. I said, you have to go in first in the corner and be hit. You can't let the other guy go in the corner. So what? You hit him, so what? You've got to go in and get the corner and get the puck out. He could never understand that, Clayton Bahal.
So you would think you're almost a better hockey player if you get hit more because it shows that you're going in the fray.
Yeah. Like last night, I won't say who it was, but there was a guy going into the corner, and he was there to get the puck, and he semi-pulled the chute, let the defenseman get the puck, move the puck, and then he hit the defenseman. And they go, he's really playing rough. And saying, yeah, but the guy got the puck out. He didn't want to get hit. That's why he... pulled the chute and let the defenseman get it.
Two guys on my team, or Boston Bruins, would Wayne Cashman. He was always getting rammed into the boards, and Terry O'Reilly. Remember, Terry O'Reilly was always the first guy in, and they were. It was really something. So anyhow, yeah, that would be I don't think they have that.
They don't have that hit, but that's because I don't think they.
They don't value it.
But we'll talk about analytics next week. We again like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. And happy belated St. Patrick's Day. And we'll see you next week.
Toodaloo.